carry that with them.
Something about Emmett knows how to carry success, and I think that Dennis Green knew that beyond what yards and touchdowns that Emmett would bring to the team would be that notion of how to be a professional, how to carry yourself, whether you win or whether you lose.
I think that's a great point. Nick, when you stop and think about the veterans that I had a chance to play with, and you look at the guys like the Reggie McKenzie's, the Joe Ferguson's, those guys that knew how to play the game, the biggest thing that impressed me is how they prepared and their focus at practice and in the film room each and every day showed me I was way behind. I had to get up to speed in order to get that mental focus and be prepared each and every day.
Now, we do this show. We're going to have Emmett Smith on here in just a minute, but we do the show with one of the best sports psychologists in the country, Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Andy, how are you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Andy.
How is it back there in Kansas City? What's the weather like?
It's 85 degrees and sunny right now.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Well, I wanted to ask you, before we talk about the Super Bowls and the constant subject of the show, which is how do you manage pressure, how do you confront your own demons to perform at the highest level, with regard to retirement, with regard to knowing when to say when, what do you think? It seems to me that that's one of the hardest questions that players have to confront when they finish their careers.
Well, you know, Nick, you and I have worked in the past on a program for professional athletes to deal with their lives after sports. And one of the things that we found with a lot of athletes is when they retire, their lives totally change. The divorce rate is astronomical amongst retired professional athletes. And the adjustment level to going into the private sector, so to speak, from the professional world of sports is a difficult one. So a lot of guys have trouble making that adjustment and making the decision that it's time to go because they're afraid. I think they're afraid of what's going to be up ahead, because for a lot of them, they don't know anything but playing sports.
Yeah, and you look at the movie On Any Given Sunday, which had a lot of exaggerations in it, but one of the truths of it is not just the retirement for the player. It's a retirement for his wife or girlfriend.
The family. The entire family.
And all of the recognition, and suddenly it changes. Well, somebody that's confronting that and I think has carried himself as well as any player I've ever met in the NFL, in the 17 years I played in the NFL, is Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith, thanks for joining us tonight.
What's up, Nick?
How are you?
Emmett, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very, very good.
Well, you know, we're going to get the first question out of the way, and you certainly are welcome to answer it any way you see fit. But the rumors are flying, and Emmett, as you find yourself at the Adams Mark there with 10,000 media around you, what's going on in your mind and your heart?
Right now I'm locked in my room, and I don't think I'm going to leave. But I'm just sitting here relaxing, watching television, and waiting till tomorrow. My wife get into town tomorrow, and then, just going to hang out a little bit some kind of way.
This is a big week for everybody, but Marge told me that the way you manage yourself, she said you were taking a big power nap this afternoon. And I just say, I think that's what happens with us old guys. We've got to take that power nap just to keep our energy at a consistent level.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had an early morning this morning. I got up about 5:45 to get dressed to go play golf this morning in the cold weather. So while I was at the golf course today, I started hearing a whole bunch of rumors and everything start coming, and my phone started buzzing off the hook. So that's when everything would start coming at me and all that, those kind of things. So I had to deal with a little bit of the rumor aspect of it in certain aspects. But for the most part, it's been a pleasant day, but cold.
Emmett, this is Mnuch, and as those rumors were out there, we had a chance to talk to several players on our daytime radio show, Calling All Sports with Brock and Mnuch, and just asking people, if Emmett does go down this road, what did he mean to you in the words like head coach Dave McGinnis? Integrity, pride, stamina, endurance, and most of all, the biggest word, professionalism. And if there's one thing, if this all comes to fruition, what is that one thing that you want people to remember Emmett Smith as?
Well, you know what? In my career, I've been a guy that I represent the underdog in a lot of ways. I've been one of those individuals, and a lot of players probably are. But for my career, it's been one that I can go all the way back to high school, where a guy said he's not going to be a good college football player. And in college, I was able to overcome a lot of things there. And then once I got to the National Football League, it was like, he's definitely not going to be a great NFL football player. He's too small. He's too slow. He don't have the hands. He don't do this. He don't do that. All the don'ts. And was able to overcome a lot of those negative things about me. So I've always been a player to try to think positive in every aspect of my life and every aspect of everything that I'm trying to do. So, you know, I've just been one to be positive and try to just be a professional about everything that I try to do and encourage others as well. So if I had to say one thing, I'd probably say a guy that's been determined to be successful.
And each and every day, it sounds like that driving force for you, Emmett, from the psychological standpoint, was to basically prove those people wrong that said what you were just saying, that it's one of those things where he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the speed, but just each and every year you got your yards, you got the touchdowns, and you continue to move the football down the field.
Well, that was my job anyway, and I tell you one thing about it, though, when you've done something and you have had success on all levels of football, you have a level of confidence as well, a level of confidence. And I think that level of confidence is what keeps the determination to keep the drive going. If you can prove and you can do it at a high school level and you can do it at a college level and you can manage and find a way to get it done at the NFL level, I mean, that's a lot of confidence. That's a lot of years of just doing things right and making something happen with the talent that you do have. It's not like I was not successful. I mean, in high school I won 2 state championships. In college I didn't win not one. but I got to 1,000 yards faster than any freshman, and I was able to do some things that even at the college level that brought attention to me. But I was able to do it well enough to the point where the Cowboys took a chance on a 17th pick out of Florida, 5'9", 205 pounds, freshman, rookie coming in, and just was able to make things happen at this level with the help of Troy Aikman and many others. So, you know, the football is more than a one-man sport. It's a total team sport. And when you have all the components together you get an opportunity to allow your talents to shine, then it will surface to the top.
Andy Jacobs, you want to ask Emmett Smith a question?
Yeah, Emmett, it's Dr. Jacobs, sports psychologist. I admired your career, and, you know, listening to you talk here, reminds me of Nick Lowry. Nick was cut 11 times by 8 teams before he made it in the NFL, told he wasn't good enough. What would you suggest to young kids today who might be listening to us in terms of overcoming negativity? How would you suggest, what would you say to young kids today, high school kids, on how they can overcome that?
You know, I think one thing that you can't, I mean, if you look at what I said that you have to be confident in yourself, number one. And if you've been one, to go from level to level and have a great deal of success, then I think that in itself helped you as you continue to mature, as you continue to go from one level of football to the next level of football, and finally to the ultimate stage of football, which is the National Football League. If you continue to have those type of success, I think you develop a level of confidence that you can get it done. You can always reassure yourself, hey, if I did it at this level and I did it at this level, surely I can do it at this level too, because I'm playing against some of the same people that I played against in high school and even in college. And if they can make it, I can make it too. And so, but at some point, if you get to the point where you're not having that kind of success and you have to look at an alternative, I think the thing that helps you is to be a well-rounded individual. And I think most high schoolers put all their eggs in one basket. And I've been always one to be having some great advice around me saying, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Prepare for the end. Prepare to go on to another life. Just in case this thing here that you're supporting don't always work out for you. And I think that's where even myself and many others could possibly get in trouble.
That's a great answer, Emmett. Thank you very much.
Well, Emmett, we're going to have Andre Reed join us in the next segment and talk about those 93 and 94 Super Bowls and, you know, a lot about that success. And for Andre, of course, we had Marv Levy on a couple months ago dealing with that failure. Even though you were a success until that final game, you know, when you've lost a Super Bowl, how do you come back? And I know you come back from some disappointments and shown the character that you have. We're going to talk about character with Andre Reed and Emmett Smith in the next segment. This is Nick Lowry, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and the great Dan Minucci live from Fort McDowell Casino.
A good cigar is by far a great way to relax. Premium hand-rolled cigars are very flavorful, smooth as silk to smoke, and when shared with a great glass of cognac, port, scotch, or wine, a very enjoyable experience. Matchstick Cigars in Chandler, Arizona's best-kept secret, located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's, offers premium cigars from all over the world, including Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Jamaica. Matchstick Cigars offers two lounges where you can sit down and enjoy a cigar with some friends in Arizona's only cigar lounge serving beer and wine. They offer a fine line of humidors, cigar accessories, related books and magazines, and best of all, a very knowledgeable and friendly staff who'll take the time to meet your needs. Matchstick Cigars is dedicated to providing retail and corporate customers with an outstanding range of specialty tobacco products, corporate and personal gifts, and accessories. Matchstick Cigars at the Chandler Fashion Square, 480-726-STIX or matchstickcigars.com.
Hi, this is Nick Lowry. Check out the hottest card room in the valley, the Poker Room at Fort McDowell Casino. You can play Texas Hold'em, 7-card stud, high-low stud, Omaha. The Fort offers the lowest rake in the valley for comps and cash for playing. Tournaments are every single day. Live game jackpot over $50,000. Call 1-800-THE-FORT, extension 693 for weekly updates, jackpot totals, and tournament information. That's the Poker Room at the Fort, only at Fort McDowell Casino. And join the free winner's circle at Fort McDowell, and then you'll automatically earn $10 just for joining. You earn points that are valued everywhere throughout the casino. You'll also receive incredible food discounts and entertainment offers. Call 1-800-THE-FORT or go online to www.fortmcdowellcasino.com for more information. It's all here, and you'll get lucky at Fort McDowell Casino.
Tired of eating pizza that tastes like cardboard? If that's the case, then you need to stop by one of two Venezia's New York-style pizzerias in the East Valley. If you love pizza, then you've got to try the 24-inch party pie exclusively at Venezia's. Dine in, pick up, or delivery, Venezia's is serving you from two convenient locations in Tempe and Chandler. In Tempe at the southeast corner of Mill and Southern, and in Chandler on the northeast corner of Pecos and McQueen. And for you sports fans, take advantage of the extra-large two-item pizza for just $10.99. Now at Venezia's New York-style pizzerias.
If you've been thinking about buying or leasing a new BMW, let me give you a little advice. When you talk to your BMW dealer, don't just ask how much your new BMW is going to cost to buy. Ask how much extra it'll cost to maintain. Surely, a car with such legendary performance credentials as a BMW can't be inexpensive to maintain, can it? Well, actually, your new BMW will cost you nothing extra to maintain. See, every new BMW is covered by BMW's full maintenance program. That means all factory-recommended maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles is covered. It even covers things that typically wear out over time, like brake pads, brake rotors, even wiper blades. Look, BMW has always made cars that are fun to drive. And now, we've made them just a little more fun to own.
Make sure you stop by Chapman BMW on McDowell and test drive the new 6 Series BMWs only at Chapman BMW on McDowell. That's Chapman BMW.
Champs at the Biltmore is the Monday home of calling all sports. Rock and Mnuch broadcast every Monday from the best sports bar and restaurant in town. Champs Restaurant and Bar at the Biltmore, your new home for sports and great food in Arizona. Champs is centrally located at 2520 East Camelback in the Biltmore Mall and is open every day and night for all your sports needs. Happy hour runs 4 to 7 p.m. with dollar off all beverage and half price appetizers. So if you're looking for a game or just a great place for incredible food, check out Champs at the Biltmore, the official home of calling all sports, with Rock and Mnuch.
Looking for the best place to watch sports in North Scottsdale? Check out the new Primetime Sports Grill at Greyhawk. Finally, an upscale sports bar in North Scottsdale that offers great food and plenty of TVs to watch all your favorite teams, both locally and nationally. Primetime Sports Grill is not just your ordinary sports bar. Primetime has a great atmosphere and prides itself on a great menu. Primetime's menu includes incredible specialties like the spicy Primetime wings, the tasty fish tacos, the huge prime rib sandwich, and the gigantic half-pound Angus beef Primetime cheeseburger, and the best fries in town. Primetime offers daily food specials and a 4 to 7 happy hour Monday through Sunday. And for all the sports on the weekend, if it's on, it's on at Primetime. And golfers, Primetime is your 19th hole after playing golf in Scottsdale. Make Primetime your tournament headquarters for the Open this January. Primetime Sports Grill, Scottsdale Road just north of Thompson Peak next to Bash's. Primetime Sports Grill at Greyhawk, your neighborhood sports bar in North Scottsdale.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime.
We are the champions, everybody, and we're talking with one of the great champions here at Fort McDowell Casino. the great Emmett Smith, live with Dan Minucci and Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Dr. Jacobs, before you leave, the premise of this show is all about how we deal with competition and pressure. When you look at an athlete like an Emmett Smith, what is it about pressure that allows them to bring out their best?
I think they strive for it. They look for it. They want it. They're not afraid of it. And as Emmett said, dealing with negativity when he was younger probably made him a stronger person mentally and made him look at these situations and say, you know what, I'm not afraid to deal with this. This is nothing. I've had other things in my life that are a lot worse than this. This is going to be fun. I'm going to show people what I can do.
Well, Andy, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll look forward to having you next week.
All right. Well, have a great show, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs.
Thanks, Andy. Next, we're going to have Andre Reed in a minute join us. But, Emmett, as you look at the team you joined back then, Dallas Cowboys had not had a lot of success. The great tradition seemed to have been lost. Jimmy Johnson comes in. Of course, you had some connections with him. Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, a lot of different guys came in. But what was it? You used the word confidence. What was it that allowed the Dallas Cowboys and Jimmy Johnson to infuse that team in such a short period of time with that confidence?
Again, I'm going to start off by saying, if you look at Jimmy's track record, he obviously came from a winning program, which is at the University of Miami. And once he got to the National Football League, a lot of people said, well, heck, college and NFL coaching is totally different. And but to Jimmy, it wasn't that different. I mean, it was all about getting people together to be on the same page and believe in the same goal and the same mission. And that is one thing that he did. Now, obviously, in his first year, did not have a whole lot of success. And his second year also, we only won like seven out of 16 games. But the thing that you saw a tremendous improvement from year one to year two. I mean, obviously, went 1-15 in year one, and year two went 7-9. And once we start getting to the place, getting all the pieces of the puzzle back in place, when we brought in North Turner, which was the offensive coordinator, that had a complete balance between the passing game and the run game, which was suitable for Troy, which was suitable for me, which was suitable for Michael, suitable for Jay, and all the other aspects of what we were trying to do, and our defense came together. Then Jimmy had in his mind what he felt was a college team at the NFL level with depth all over the place and could count on a lot of individuals. And all those pieces start coming together, then things start happening very nicely for us. Again, you're talking about a confident coach that was had success at a college level, felt like he can have the same kind of success at the NFL level. And you're talking about players that believe and had similar successes in all those areas. So once all that stuff started coming together, in our mind, we gained confidence, we gained belief in one another, and because we won 11 games in year three and missed and got to the playoff, but got knocked off in the first round, and then in year four, went all the way to the Super Bowl. And that particular year, they said we were too young to even win the Super Bowl. So there's always things and people out there saying things that you cannot do. But yet, as a team, you have to honestly believe what you can do and go out there and execute like you really want it and make it happen.
Let's fast forward to that first Super Bowl year, because Jimmy Johnson had not confronted the Super Bowl himself. How did he prepare you when you landed and you were in the Super Bowl city, you're ready for that game? How did Jimmy prepare you so you guys were relaxed enough to do your best?
Well, I think he prepared us like he normally would. I didn't see him do anything that was out of the norm. I think what he did was he confronted other past Super Bowl winners who had been there, whom he respected. I think he contacted Parcells and figured out what their practice regimen were and others. And try to implement that within us, and obviously it worked for us. So I think he was pretty much relaxed. I think the pressure that he felt might have been in an NFC Championship game against San Fran, that first one, because we was going up against a very tough San Francisco 49ers team that had nothing but game experience, and one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game, and they had Steve Young at quarterback as well as Joe Montana on the sideline. So, I mean, there was a very, very good ball club all the way around. And so that was a tough challenge for us, and we was able to overcome that one.
Emmett, today we're at Media Day, and you're very well familiar with Media Day, and we were talking about how crazy it is and how it's just become an event more than anything. So your first Super Bowl, was there something in this team's mind or in your mind how to kind of you know, take it all in, but then again, keep it at bay so you could keep your focus?
No, to be honest with you, no, it was our first experience. We was enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah,
I think we were so young that we didn't even have, and we were so young and inexperienced, we were dumb and naive at the same time. We just soaked in every minute of it, so we didn't really know what to expect, so we enjoyed every bit of it. And we knew that once the game time came, that we tried to treat it like it was a normal game, but it was nothing normal about playing in the Super Bowl game compared to playing in a regular season game. There's two different levels. The levels of excitement, levels of nervousness, and levels of just levels of execution, things that have to happen. And, you know, when they call your name out for introduction, man, it's like the whole world is weighted on you. I mean, it's like you run around and what you would normally do, you find yourself being extremely tired in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Extremely tired.
Yes.
In the first, within the first 5 minutes of the game, you find yourself wore out. And, I think you wore out because of the emotions and the buildup and the drama of it all. And plus the reality, you're playing in a game that you always dreamt about, and now you actually here. And it's a possibility you can lose.
Yes. Well, you know, Emmett, just hearing you talk about it and hearing you get excited about it, you're almost wearing yourself out talking about that very first experience. And my question is, at what point in that very first game against the Bills did you guys go, you know what, we can win this game? Because I don't know if anything happened in particular, or it was stalemated. You guys went.
A whole lot of things happened. A whole lot of things happened for us that first game. Obviously, it started off on a negative note. But we ended up turning a negative into a positive. And from that point on, I think the Bills made a lot of mistakes.
Right.
And I think that's what Jimmy was counting on because of their previous years of experience in the Super Bowls, some of the mistakes that they made. And they started making those same kind of mistakes. And we had almost like 7 turnovers, I believe. And when you turn the ball over that many times in a game like the Super Bowl, and with a team that had the weapons that we had, there's no way you're supposed to come back and win. There's no way.
Now, I have a personal stake in that next Super Bowl after the 93 season because we're playing Buffalo in Buffalo, and Bruce Smith sacks Joe Montana, basically knocks him out. I'm standing next to him. I sit next to him. The 3 security guys come and stand in front of Joe and on either side so people couldn't see the fact that he was cross-eyed for about 15 minutes. So we knew we were in trouble. I kicked a field goal at the end of the third quarter, 20-13, and then after that sack,
right.
They score a quick touchdown, and now it's 27-13, and they're going to the Super Bowl. So I'm watching the Super Bowl the next week in Atlanta, and I'll never forget. It's a close game till late in the first half, and I remember, I can't remember which one it was, but one of the Buffalo players offered his hand to Emmett Smith to pull him up. I think maybe they thought you might be injured or something. There was something going on there. It was almost as if they were so relieved to not be getting blown out after all these years that they thought they'd accomplished something, and then you did blow them out in the second half.
Well, I mean, it was a very close game, and they played it very tough. And I mean, they absolutely played great football in the first half. They did make a few mistakes, and we was able to capitalize on them. And again, in the second Super Bowl against Buffalo, mistakes killed them again, and turnovers killed them again. And we was able to capitalize on just every mistake that they made, and that in itself set the game apart from one another.
Emmett, I think that the very first Super Bowl, when I think of your Dallas Cowboy team where Jimmy Johnson instilled a quick, hard-hitting defense. So I thought the first Super Bowl, your defense dictated the tempo of the game until the offense got on track. And the second Super Bowl and the third Super Bowl, you guys had this offensive juggernaut with yourself and Aikman and Irvin and, oh, by the way, a supporting cast of Jay Novacek and Johnson at the fullback. So that's how I saw that in those early Super Bowls.
Well, you saw it the right way because our defense definitely kept us in the game in the first one. And that's a matter of fact. The defense scored, I'm not going to say they scored the first touchdown, but they scored at least the second touchdown.
Right.
And then they set us up offensively. Then once we got the rolling offensively, then it was no turning back.
As you looked at that game last week, did you watch the Pittsburgh-New England game last week?
Emmett? Yeah, I watched it, man. I was so disappointed. I was disappointed in Pittsburgh because I felt like they had a ball club that could match up well against against New England, but New England was just too strong mentally. You could see them. You could see the mental toughness that that team actually have, and the resolve that they actually have. I mean, they don't. It's like they don't crack at all under pressure. The more pressure that they get, the better they play. And New England kind of reminded me of the Cowboys in our second year. I mean, regular season games don't become fun no more when you play in the playoff. And when you play in the playoff and you roll through the playoff like New England has been able to do and like we were able to do in 2 years, the regular season games don't mean that much. You just want to do enough to get to the playoff mm-hmm. and hopefully secure home field advantage. And once you get there, that's when a real season truly begins. And that's the way New England that's the way New England handled it.
Let me ask you this. When speaking of getting to the big games, Jerome Bettis, 368, I think, consecutive carries until the week before when he had a fumble. Early in that game last week, Teddy Bruschi starts talking big time in the face of Jerome Bettis, and it seemed to me to be a little bit distracting to Jerome. He started talking back, and then about two or three plays later, he fumbles. Tell me about that and how you keep focused when the guys are confronting you and saying all sorts of wonderful things about you and your family. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, you just take it with a grain of salt, and sometimes you say your piece and you go on back to the huddle and do your thing. You don't spend a whole lot of time acknowledging what they do. And I can understand Jerome, but Jerome's a talker too now. You got to understand. It was going both ways. And the bus was not playing. The bus came to roll that day, and he wanted everybody to know he came to roll.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, New England got the best of all the rolling. And so they were prepared. They were prepared for the bus, and they slowed the bus down. The thing that I try to do is, yeah, I got guys in my face want to jaw and want to talk noise, and I just say, hey, okay, keep talking. Then I may say something, I'll shut up. You ain't this, you ain't that, and I may go back to the huddle, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in the individual face and energy in the individual face. I'm going to try to reserve that energy for the next play, and then when I make a play, I'm going to ask him, I'm going to turn around and look for him and say, where were you at on this particular play? When I make
exactly.
another play, I'm going to say, I don't see you nowhere. I don't hear you talking no more. And when I make more plays, I'm going to say, your mouth is shut up now, right?
You know? Or if in doubt, Emma, you always point to the scoreboard when you're leading, and the points, there's more points for than against.
Hey, and I would probably say if you can play as good as you can talk, maybe y'all be winning the game, you know.
Well, we've got a special treat because a couple weeks ago we had Len Dawson and Jerry Kramer, who played in the first Super Bowl together, talking about that game. Andre Reed, thanks for joining us. One of the great receivers in Buffalo Bills history. Tell us now, I've been waiting for this for a few days, looking forward to this. As you got into that game, that 1994 game, you guys are close in the first half. Tell me how you guys brought yourselves to that moment where you felt confidence despite having lost a year before and you had to confront people like Emmitt Smith.
Well, first of all, let me say, you know, how much I respect Emmitt for what he's been doing, for continuing to do what he's doing on the field. I mean, we know how it is year in and year out, how tough it is and how much preparation you have to play in this league. And, you know, I just really admire what he's been doing and what he's done in his whole career. So that's just from me to him.
Well, I appreciate that, Drake. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real well out here in San Diego, you know. Trying to get that little golf ball right, you know, that's about it.
Yeah, I feel
a little bit of television, getting in the TV thing, and you know, you got kids, man, you know how that is. That's probably your main priority. So
right.
it's going to football games and horseback riding and surfing and all those things, but you know, football is always, you know, during the year. I'm almost 5 years out now, going on five, and it doesn't even seem like that. It seems like I just started, you know, stopped playing about a year ago, but you know, time flies. And I'm sure you tell a lot of these young kids what it means to put on a uniform, because you never know when it's your last play.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You never know.
Andre, this is Dan Minucci, and we were talking about the old Buffalo Bill days and what you guys were doing, and year in and year out to get to that pinnacle and to fall down the mountain and come back, get to the mountain, fall down the mountain. Everybody goes, well, they went four times, they lost. I said, wait a second, time out. They made it to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, which I think in modern football we'll probably never see it again. How do you combat that when people come at you with that?
Well, I put it in there. And you got to remember this, too. We played those Cowboy teams, and believe it, I mean, to me, we had to be on, you know, every cylinder to beat them those two games. And, you know, that's just a credit to the, how they were coached and what kind of preparation they went through, especially the second game in Atlanta. You know, we were leading at halftime, and the Cowboys made the adjustments that we did not make. And, you know, aside from the turnovers, you know, it doesn't matter if you turn the ball over. It doesn't matter how many times you turn it over. You're not going to beat the local high school team. So Emmitt knows, man, once you get in the playoff, protecting the ball is probably the most important thing because everybody's good. Everybody knows what it takes to get there. And, you know, one play could be the meaning of the game. And in that first Super Bowl in Pasadena, I mean, we turned the ball over 9 times. I mean, like I said, we're not going to beat the local high school team doing that. So, but again, that's just a credit to how what they did, and you know, they were the better team those two days.
And how did you guys, as far as a team? I know when you lose, you pretty much forget about it. Maybe about 2 months down the road, how did you get your mind geared up to come back into training camp and go vie for that next Super Bowl, Super Bowl after Super Bowl? What was it that triggered you to say, I'm going through this again?
Well, again, I think, you know, you go to training camp in July, and everybody's out there for the same goal, and that's to make it to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. That's why you play this game. And I think every year with the core guys we had, I mean, Emma can attest to this, that you and your core players and your guys on your team, you're all out there for the same goal, and that's to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's why we're in this game. And we figured every year that if we had the same core guys, we had as much chance to get back to that game as anybody else. And that's just, again, it's just a credit to how we prepared and how our coach prepared us and how we got ready. And again, you know, you can't do it yourself. You got to have some good players around you. And again, you know, our teams of the 90s, the Bills of the 90s, we were one of the best teams. And it just so happens that, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday, we did not play as good as we probably could have to win the ultimate game. But again, people always tell me, you guys were there 4 times, you lost. But, you know, my answer is this: well, what were you doing on Super Bowl Sunday? You were probably watching me.
So, exactly.
You know, you were watching me, so there's my answer. And again, I don't consider myself a loser because of that. I mean, I played with some great players, some Hall of Famers. And again, I think Emmitt can say the same thing for the guys he played with in Dallas. He played with some Hall of Famers, and a blessing in itself there.
Dre, you know one thing.
Go ahead, Emmitt.
I don't consider you guys losers as well because you know what, the hardest thing in the world to do is when you get knocked down to get back up.
Exactly.
And brush yourself off and keep going and keep fighting for it. No matter how many times you get knocked down,
yeah.
And you have to continue to get back up. And that's one thing that I admire about your ball club is because one, you got there 4 years straight. And I know the energy that it took, the mindset that it took, and the discipline that it took just to go and practice and prepare yourself for this particular game and the grind that you guys went through. I marvel at that because to do that 4 years straight is something that most people can't even fathom to do it 1 year and then try to do it on the second year, let alone trying to do it 4 years straight. I mean, it takes so much of your energy to get there, and it takes even that much more of your energy away from you when you don't be successful. And
yeah.
So to find that energy again and that drive again and that will again to go 4 straight is unbelievable, especially 1 year when you was down in the AFC in the playoff and you had to come back from Houston.
You had to come back.
And
that wasn't just your average comeback.
No,
that was 3 touchdowns in 16 minutes by Andre Reed.
Who were you down by, 95-7, Andre, as I recall?
No, I think it was like 143.
It was unbelievable.
But you know what? It's something, you know, now that I'm out of the game and I watch the games here and there, I don't know if, you know, Emmitt can agree with me about this, but, you know, you don't have the same kind of player you had 5, 10, maybe 15 years ago. It's a different kind of player. It's a different kind of attitude. I mean, these kids, it is different. And these kids' attitudes and the way they're being coached or, you know, so-and-so, it's different than it was 10, 15 years ago, or almost 20 now. You know, I came in 80, 85, so it was a different kind of player in 85 and 90 and 91 than it is now in the year 2004. It's just a different mindset for the players. I think, again, the ultimate goal is to make it to the Super Bowl and win, but is everybody on the same page? Is everybody out there for that goal? And I don't think you see that in the league anymore. I don't think you see you know, 45 guys that are committed day in and day out to be the best and be at the same level. And, you know, I think what Emmitt has done in this league is a testament to a guy that works hard every year, year in and year out, regardless of what they say about age and this and that. And, you know, the guy comes to play every single game, and he shows it. And, you know, that's why he's a Hall of Famer. So,
well, that's a great thing. That's a great thing to bring up, because if you guys can join us for just a couple more minutes in the next segment, we'd like to ask you your Super Bowl predictions, but not just about the game, guys, but about the larger game. Players have changed. The money's in there. Emmitt, you become a grandfather, so to speak. You're the mentor to so many players on the Cardinals. How has the game changed? How do players keep that competitive edge when they're distracted by so many other things? So with that, this is Nick Lowry. Go ahead.
I think the problem is at this level here, and most players here get here, and they're happy just to make it here. And then once they get here, they get comfortable now that they are in a group of an elite athlete that they're making money and all those things.
Exactly. Well, Emmitt, if you'll stay with us just for a couple more minutes.
It's like y'all want to shut up.
No. We just want to be able to go to commercials so we can get back in time just to finish up what you think about this game and some predictions. That's okay, my brother. That's okay. This is Nick Lowry with Dan Minucci. You're on 860 AM ESPN Radio with the great Emmitt Smith and Andre Reed. We'll be right back.
If you've been thinking about buying or leasing a new BMW, let me give you a little advice. When you talk to your BMW dealer, don't just ask how much your new BMW is going to cost to buy. Ask how much extra it'll cost to maintain. Surely, a car with such legendary performance credentials as a BMW can't be inexpensive to maintain, can it? Well, actually, your new BMW will cost you nothing extra to maintain. See, every new BMW is covered by BMW's full maintenance program. That means all factory-recommended maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles is covered. It even covers things that typically wear out over time, like brake pads, brake rotors, even wiper blades. Look, BMW has always made cars that are fun to drive. And now, we've made them just a little more fun to own.
Make sure you stop by Chapman BMW on McDowell and test drive the new 6 Series BMWs only at Chapman BMW on McDowell. That's Chapman BMW.
Hey, everybody, Dan Minucci back here at Fort McDowell Casino, Arizona, with Head Games. And if you like cigars like I do, you need to stop by Matchsticks Fine Cigars in Chandler. Matchsticks Fine Cigars in Chandler, located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's, is unlike all the other cigar shops. Matchsticks has their own lounge with a big screen TV, lockers for their members, and they are the only cigar store with their own beer and wine license. Now, how great is that? A fine cigar, a cold beverage, and big screen TV to watch the game. Matchsticks Fine Cigars also offers a gigantic variety of the finest cigars in the world, and they can even do special requests for those hard-to-find cigars. In addition, the best selections of cigars in the valley, they offer an assortment of accessories to house your fine cigars. Matchsticks Fine Cigars can be reached at 480-726-STIX. That's 480-726-7849. Mention Head Games or ESPN Radio 860, and the guys at Matchsticks will give you 10%, no, give you 15% off. That's Matchsticks Fine Cigars.
Before practice each day, all-star forward Sean Marion jumps rope for half an hour on his left leg, then on his right. Because it's what a player does without the ball that makes him great. Your Phoenix Suns are putting in the hours on and off the court to bring home a winner. With dynamic players like Marion, Nash, and Amari, all that hard work could pay huge dividends for one of the NBA's most exciting teams.
Saturday night is 80s night when the Suns host the Knicks. Plus, a post-game concert featuring the Romantics. Call 1-800-4-NBA-TICKS or visit Suns.com to get your tickets.
Your Phoenix Suns. Working hard, playing harder.
Hey, Hey, everybody, Dan Minucci back again to tell you about my favorite dealership, Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell. At Chapman BMW on McDowell, they treat you like a Hall of Famer. Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell invites you to experience the excitement and commitment they have in the vehicles they represent and the service they provide. Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell offers you the ultimate driving experience. Check out the new 2005 325i's and my favorite, and as Nick would say, he's got two of them because he really does have two of these, the new X5s. This week, tell them Head Games Radio on ESPN Radio to come on in and come on down. That's Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell.
A good cigar is by far a great way to relax. Premium hand-rolled cigars are very flavorful, smooth as silk to smoke, and when shared with a great glass of cognac, port, scotch, or wine, a very enjoyable experience. Matchstick Cigars in Chandler, Arizona's best-kept secret, located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's, offers premium cigars from all over the world, including Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Jamaica. Matchstick Cigars offers two lounges where you can sit down and enjoy a cigar with some friends in Arizona's only cigar lounge serving beer and wine. They offer a fine line of humidors, cigar accessories, related books and magazines, and best of all, a very knowledgeable and friendly staff who'll take the time to meet your needs. Matchstick Cigars is dedicated to providing retail and corporate customers with an outstanding range of specialty tobacco products, corporate and personal gifts, and accessories. Matchstick Cigars at the Chandler Fashion Square, 480-726-STIX, or matchstickcigars.com.
General Dynamics' approach to employment is simple. Hire exceptionally talented people, encourage their growth, and give them the opportunities to make a difference. Innovation and imagination happen at General Dynamics on a daily basis. From integrating advanced military operations centers to developing secure communication technologies to overhauling the U.S. maritime search and rescue system, General Dynamics is engineering some of the most advanced communication and information systems in the world. Join them in transforming the future. Visit www.careers@gdc4s.com. Employees at General Dynamics thrive in an environment that supports open communication with a real commitment to individual performance and growth. For current hire systems and software engineering openings and other job opportunities in Arizona and around the world, go to careers@gdc4s.com. General Dynamics, strength on your side.
It's the theme from Rocky at Fort McDowell Casino. I'll tell you why, because Emmett Smith and Andre Reed are talking about getting back off the mat, baby, and going back and punching it out. You guys, just got a couple minutes left. We really appreciate your coming and joining us in this big Super Bowl week. Tell us, what's going to be the key ingredient in this game with the confident Patriots, the smart, confident Patriots against an angry, great defense in Philadelphia with something to prove? Emmett, why don't you start?
Well, one thing about an angry team, I mean, if you go out there reckless and abandoned and not playing sound football, a confident team that is very patient and very persistent about what they're doing can pick you apart, can take advantage of your over-aggressiveness. So one thing I think that New England will do is stay patient, stay confident, and pick and choose their moments to exploit the Eagles' defense. The Eagles themselves, they got to play a mistake-free ball game. They cannot afford any turnovers, number one, and they have to find some kind of way to be balanced with Westbrook. Some kind of way, get Westbrook in the game plan early so he can stay hot. And Donovan McNabb will have to make plays down the field as well as with his legs in order to stay in this ball game.
Andre, tell us, especially the factor, the X factor himself, Terrell Owens. Tell us about this game as you see it.
Well, you know what? Everybody's been talking to me about that all the last couple of weeks, man. I'd be at the gym and, hey, is T.O., you think he should play? You think he should do this? You think he shouldn't play? You know what? The guy's going to do what he believes is best for him and his football team. And I think when it comes down to it, he might not ever get this chance again. He might not ever see a Super Bowl again. And I think people got to realize that that's probably on his mind. And number two, yeah, the injury factor, is he healed enough? After 5 weeks, I believe, you know, you can heal fast, but I think the type of injury he had, I don't think he's going to be as effective as maybe he might think or you know, what the Eagles think. New England's going to game plan regardless. You know, Bill Belichick is a guru when it comes to game planning for certain offenses. I think if they limit Donovan McNabb's mobility and force him outside the pocket a lot and rush those guys upfield, McGinnis and those kind of guys, I think they can contain him. I think the X factor for the Eagles is going to be Westbrook, just like Emmett said, because he can do so many things, catching the ball out of the backfield, running, even special teams. I think if they limit him too, you know, the Patriots are calm and cool customers. They've been here before. They have experience, and it's really up to the Eagles if they're able to kind of alleviate that. And are they going to be uptight? Are they going to be tight or not? You know, I think, you know, this game does it brings out the best and some of the worst in some people. So I think it's going to be good for about a quarter and a half, and there's going to be one play that's going to break it wide open, and then, you know, it's all said and done there. I think I see the Patriots winning, even though I want the Eagles to win, but I think experience is going to really hold true in this game.
Well, Andre Reed of the Buffalo Bills and Emmett Smith of the Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys, thanks for joining us tonight on Head Games. We hope we can have you back. Have a great week down there in Jacksonville, and thanks for being the class acts that we've always known you were.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Good night. Thanks.
Good night, guys.
Okay, now this is the poker segment. We just got a minute with the great Troy Iverson from the Poker Room, but tell us our advice if you want to win big, not only at the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl of poker.
Well, basically, what we're going to talk about today is tells. We'll just touch on it today, and we'll touch on a few more in the
tails?
Next couple weeks. Tells.
Tells. Okay.
Tells. You look at someone. When you're playing in a game, everybody has certain aspects mm-hmm. of their personality that gives away information. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is try and pick up on that information and use that against them. You're going to some of the easier ones are people that stack their chips really neat are usually considered the tight player because they're very meticulous, whereas people that splash their chips all over the place, they usually play a lot more hands.
That would
they're
be
the
me.
Gamble. Yeah.
the nervousness, the fidgety that they are.
Exactly. They're there. They want to play. They don't care about the money. The other people that keep their stacks really neat, they're usually looking at everything, trying to play really tight. They're trying to win some money. Other tells, basically, are people that are disinterested in the hand. They're not going to play the hand, so they're waiting to throw their hand away. You know they're not going to call, so now you have to wait. You have to see if a lot of people are disinterested in the hand, you're going to come in and try and pick up the pot because you know that you're not going to have a lot of people against you, so you can make a lot of bluffs at those kind of people.
Okay. And last but not least, the tip of the day is stay cool, calm, collected, and not tip your hand at all. Is that what you're,
absolutely.
That's what you're basically saying?
Basically, you want to pick up people's tells, but you don't want to give anyone any tells.
Okay. All right. Well, Troy, thank you so much. Appreciate you filling in for Mike Byrne.
You bet.
Well, this has been another great, I think
great
one,
show.
Of, one of the best shows
ever.
Because we got a chance to talk to some champions, Andre Reed and Emmett Smith, and, of course, Troy Iverson.
Don't forget Troy.
We want to thank Nate up in the booth and Dave Williams producing this show. I want to thank my good friend Dan Minucci and Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We want to thank you for listening. This has been Head Games. It's all about champions and you being the champion on and off the field. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.